I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello everybody, and you're all very welcome to another episode of the Tommy Tiernan podcast. I got quite religious when I was in my mid-teens. It was around about the time that I first started listening to the Waterboys. You saw the Hole of the Moon, Spirit, This is the Sea. Those albums triggered something in me, as well as a kind of consciousness that wanted to refuse that which was on offer. And that which was on offer was kind of academic success. And as a teacher in Garbally, the career guidance teacher said to me, you're here to get a good Leaving Cert, and that's it. It was a Catholic boarding school, which... not only did we have to go to prayer twice a day, you'd rise up at 7:15 and I think you had to be down at prayer at 8:10 or something like that after breakfast. And there was prayer in the evening and there was mass every day and there was benediction on a Sunday, which is a wonderful ceremony of singing and the priest walking around. I think it was, I can't remember the name of the yoke. Do you only see these, you see it in Greek Orthodox and Serbian churches, the guy with the swinging yoke, and it's full of smoke and he's swirling smoke around. We had that and it was fantastic. So there was a library there full of books about Jesus, and that combined with Mike Scott singing You Better Turn Your Back on All These Useless Things. So I became very religious, and for about a year and a half, I was miserable until one day I was just, it was the wrong type of Catholicism that was in my head. It was oppressive. It was personality crushing. I had no guide, and my teenage self wasn't able to cope really with the guidance that I was trying to give myself. I was in school English class one afternoon, and I read this poem called The Collar by George Herbert. And it fucking struck me like a bolt of lightning. The poem starts off, I struck the board and cried no more, I will abroad. And something, I read those words and I just said, fuck it. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not. And I could feel a great breeze of relief flowing through me. Now I've maintained an interest and a passion for Catholicism, maybe. Christianity, definitely. Since then. But that was a real moment for me of giving up the struggle. And it felt good. But I was watching a documentary the other day called Extreme Pilgrim. And it's on the YouTube. And it's about this fella, an English vicar who goes off trying different religions, the extreme versions of them. Like, he lives with kung fu monks in China, and do you know the the Indian lads covered in muck running around in the nip, and the lad hopping from thigh to thigh with the long beards, and it looks like they're smoking dope and haven't, they've big kind of hedgehogs of hair in their head, and they're running down to the Ganges. He lives with them for a little while. The one that really caught my imagination was he headed off to the Egyptian desert to live in a cave, just like the extreme Christians of the second century. And these guys would live in caves their whole life and just pray and pray and pray and pray. And he went off to try that for 3 weeks. And there's an amazing transformation that takes place. Is it great to see television where it's transformative, not externally transformative, like I lost 7 pounds and you're standing there in your half nip, mortified in front of the nation. An inner transformation. And I'd recommend it anyway. But one of the things he talked about was, he said, at every moment in our lives, we have a decision to make, you know. And the way he phrased it was a decision between good and evil, or between the right way and the wrong way. Now, that's a very, that's a strange way of looking at the world, you know. But I'm only relating his testimony to you. And he said that if you take the easy road all the time, you become numb. And I've definitely felt that, you know, if there's no struggle, you become numb. And what I took from that was, it's the struggle that is life, that gives you life. It's the struggle that's invigorating. It's the struggle that sends adrenaline and drama through your body. It's the struggle that is the life force. So rather than looking at struggle as something to be avoided, perhaps we can cherish it. I mean, there'd be no struggle when you're dead, you know, unless you're arm wrestling the devil for your soul. But now is the time to relish the drama of being alive. At the same time, you know, there are things, that doesn't mean taking the hard road all the time, but there are things to get rid of. Now, I've had a major, I'm a great man for the drama of extremity. I'm a great man for, there's a great line from a Bob Dylan song. So I drifted down to New Orleans, where I was working as a cook for a spell, but I never did like it all that much. And one day the axe just fell. So the axe, I'm a great man for swinging the axe. My father once called me, I'm a martyr without a cause, he said, of suddenly stopping stuff. I gave up drink a few years ago, and I took it up a few years after that. But I didn't need to go to AA to stop drinking. And just one day, that was it. I just stopped. In the same way, one day I just started again 8 years later. But I just stopped. And I've been suffering recently with being a Liverpool supporter. It was taking up too much of my psychic space. Maybe it's lockdown, but I don't think so. I just found myself like I'm a match beyond of a Tuesday. And if it went the wrong way, you could be suffering, and I mean suffering, until the following Saturday. And it took up most of my imaginative space, and I was going, what the fuck, like, this is no way, you'd half expect it of a 6-year-old, but a man in his 50s to be thinking about fucking football like this. And I've noticed this thing for years and years and years. This thing of my mind being colonized by an obsession with something that I have no control and that I have no influence on, and I'm just sitting there passive watching the television screen. And their effort and their success affects my happiness. Football is such a divisive thing anyway, you know. But I think, Jesus, this is too much. This is no way for me to be living. So 2 weeks ago, just over 2 weeks ago now, there was a big match on the telly. Liverpool playing a big match in the afternoon. And I watched the first 5 minutes of it, and I wasn't enjoying it. Nothing happened in the first 5 minutes, really, but I wasn't enjoying it. So I turned off the telly and I said, one day the axe just fell. So I said, that's it. It's over. I was breaking it off with Liverpool, which is sad because I love them and I miss them, but I know it's not them, it's me. It's something that I have to do. So I haven't watched any soccer for about 2.5 weeks now. I haven't gone looking for any results. I don't know who's playing who or when they're playing or what competitions are on or any of that kind of stuff. And I have to say, a good decision. My mind is free to think about other things now. I can tell you that I'm happier. Not a queer thing. I'm happier not watching the soccer. When I was about 16, I was going out with this fine young one. As all boys and girls are at 16, you know. We went out for a couple of months and then we split up. And what I noticed was that I may as well have... There were friends of mine who were friends of hers. So, and they stayed friends. They were friends of hers before I met her, while I was going out. And they were friends of hers after we were going out. So I had this very kind of intense relationship with her. And then I didn't see her at all. And I was thinking, what was the fucking point in that? Like, my friends, they're getting all the joy of a friendship. There's been no extremity in their relationship with her. And I was thinking, Jesus, isn't it a queer thing to go out with people if you're left with less than you would have had if you'd never gone out with them at all? You'd have been better off just being her friend. That kind of fucking bugged me. I was thinking, what was the point? What was the point in this intimacy if at the end of it there's an estrangement which hurts? Now, the estrangement with Liverpool doesn't hurt, but I do miss them, you know. But sometimes I suppose if you can identify the things in your life that bring you... We all have a sense of it anyway, you know. We all have our habits and addictions. I've stopped drinking whiskey every night. Jeez, I used to have a tremendous glass of whiskey every evening. And now I'm down to one a week. you know, on a Saturday night. Having said that, I did have some poutine last night and a bottle of Guinness, but I'm not on the 7 nights a week thing that I used to be. You know, those kind of extreme decisions of, instead of struggling with moderation, it's much easier just to fucking whoosh. That's it now, no more. There's a interesting quote from the Bible. I think Jesus is talking and he says, if thy right hand offends thee, cut it off. For it's better to walk around one-handed than to be cast into the fires of hell. If thine right eye offends thee, pluck it out. For it is better to be walking around with a cycloptic one-eyed head in you than to be cast forevermore into the fires of hell. So that thing of not to be afraid of the extreme decision, you know, not to be afraid of the drama of I struck the board and cried no more, I will abroad. But the struggle is good, you know. We see the joy of struggle most obviously in sport, where it's great effort, great planning, tremendous concentration, pressure, and an attempt to perform to the best of your ability. The total focus that takes. And you would call it a struggle, but in sport, we can see the joy of it. I remember being at a wedding years ago, and the father of the groom got up to make a speech. And I kind of knew the family, you know, and the himself and his wife, let's just say they had a turbulent relationship. You know, the house, there was fuck all feathers in the house, but a lot of thorns. Husband and wife tearing shreds out of one another, thriving almost on the anger of their relationship. The habit of it, like just the East Enders of it, just barking and sniping, and each one of them looking for a verbal victory. Just, well, you said that, well, fucking you said that, and tension everywhere. Tension that never got relieved through intercourse. That's one of the things I've noticed as well. You know, sometimes all you need, sometimes everything is healed with a ride. And isn't a ride a beautiful word? It's so Irish and has notions of fresh air in it, doesn't it? You can almost smell flowers in it. A ride. It's lovely. It sounds like corduroy and hash. It's the kind of, it is a nice, a ride. Actually, no harm can come in a ride, you know. Did you ride her? I got rode, I know it. But this particular couple, no riding, all shouting. No spuds, all vinegar. Like, just tough country, tough country. And this fella stood up anyway, and he was to give a short speech at his son's wedding. And he said, I looked at his wife and she was fucking staring at him through beady, hateful. Do you know the kind of hateful, spiteful, narrow, vicious vinegar eyes? She just fucking, she despised the air he inhaled. Everything about him just made her want to stab him. And he got up and he said, I want to just congratulate Morris on getting wedding, and I want to welcome Tallulah.
to the family, and myself and Doreen now, we've been married for 40 years. And people started clapping, you know. And it was, I wonder, was that moment of applause, however long it lasted, 5 or 10 seconds. People were clapping because they were kind of going, fucking, you'll not get another 40 out of it anyway. They were kind of going, well done. Well done. And he was bringing the struggle of his marriage to another man's wedding table. And people said, well done. Now, I'm not saying that the 40 years of now, there must have been a few good years in it, but I'm not saying that the 4 decades of fighting were worth the 5 seconds of applause that he got that beautiful Saturday afternoon in the county of Cork. But I remember thinking, Jesus, that's a... what a thing to declare with pride. Like, you know, he was proud of the fact that they'd stayed together with that level of animosity for that long. Perhaps I'm just excited at new territory. So this new territory of not watching the soccer. And I'm sure that sounds really trivial to people, but a lot of people will also recognise the territory I'm talking about, of where your mind just becomes obsessed with soccer. You know, it's probably a sign of the eternal adolescence of men these days. But it does feel good, tinged with sadness and tinged with a bit of effort as well, because there are certain channels that you can't turn on, certain parts of the newspapers that you don't open. It takes a bit of guile to navigate through the breakup, to stay free. But maybe the freedom is an illusion, and maybe it's only the buzz of the new territory that I'm excited by. I'm a fierce man for buzzes. Sometimes I think my whole day is just one hop from, that I'm hopping from buzz to buzz all day long. At 6:30, I get up and I then have a meditation buzz. And then there's a little vibration that happens to the brain. It's a kind of a self-stoning. Some sort of beta waves kick in, and it's a hashless high. And then I have a coffee buzz, a tremendous treble espresso. I mean, mind is fucking flying on that. And then I have a bit of food, a lovely sweet breakfast buzz. And then I have another coffee buzz. And then I come down to the shed, and I love the walking down to the shed buzz. I open the door and I close the door. I pull across the curtains and Daddy has to do a bit of work now. So I sit down and I feel the freedom buzz. And then I have a cigar buzz. All the way from Raul Castro, the commander-in-chief of Cuba. And then I have a revive buzz. Do you know that stuff you can get in the chemist that costs 900 quid or something like that? Sachets of vitamins. So I have that kind of a buzz. And I have a lunch buzz. And then I have a doldrum buzz. That's when all the goodness of in. That's when all the you're feeling the to the tide came in with the cigars. Like there was a stone off that, and then there was all the coffee, and so you're there's great waves crashing in your mind, and you're splashing around in them, and you're thinking, and then but the tide has to go out, so they're the doldrums, but there's a bit of a buzz off that as well. Sit, you're so negative, you're so down. So I go through that, and then I have an espresso, another espresso buzz, and then I have to take the dogs for a walk buzz,
out in the fresh air up the bog road. Hur, 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 hur. I do have awful crack myself and the dogs. And then there's the dinner buzz. Oh, lovely roast potatoes and roast vegetables and a bit of salt. And then I have a sleepy buzz that I fall asleep between 6:30 and 8:00. I'm out for the fucking count. And then I wake up from the sleep and then I go on me whiskey buzz. And then I go to bed and I read about God and I get me holy buzz. So maybe my whole day is just a search for a different state of mind or something. I came across a phrase recently, maybe I dreamt it or read it, but that very few of us have the courage to be bored. You know, that when you feel bored and restless, not to be looking for the next stimulant or distraction, but to have the courage to sit with it, because maybe my suspicion is that the door into a particular type of impermanent peace and joy at the ordinary is through the door called boredom. But the door's marked deadly buzz. There's good crack in them, like, but they just lead to other doors called deadly buzz. The boredom one is the interesting one. And this queer phrase I came across, it is in the doldrums that we make most progress. So just to recap on today's little adventure, is that the struggle is good. The struggle is very good. The struggle is life. Thank you very much for listening. See you next time. This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.